Amen. I've really appreciated the music. We have a wonderful music ministry here at the church. Praise the Lord for it. And I'll reiterate what Pastor said. We're going to be losing some of our musicians from the orchestra. And so if you've got some ability and some talent there, certainly want to ask you to see Miss Lee Wetherington. She kind of manages that for us. And let her know that you would be interested in perhaps giving her a tryout and see if we could get you plugged in there. Luke chapter number 5 in your Bibles tonight, going with the Luke gospel theme today, but certainly praise the Lord for each one who's here. Again, happy Father's Day to all you dads. I hope you were honored today and given opportunity to relax, but it's good to see you back in the house of God tonight. What a blessing it is to have dads who appreciate the importance of worshiping God and the importance of the Bible in their homes and in their families. That is a blessing. Luke chapter number 5, as you find in your place there, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started in the message tonight. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us, Lord. We've heard about it over and over today. We've sung about it. Lord, we're thankful for your guidance and direction in our lives. We're thankful for how you accomplish your will in our lives as we yield to you. And Lord, as we look into your word tonight, we desire to have your will accomplished in us. Father, whether that be someone who needs to know Christ as their Savior, or whether it be someone who's not sure what the next step in their life ought to be, Lord, I just pray tonight that as we look into your word, that your Holy Spirit would take the word of God and just apply it to our hearts in a way that perhaps we've never thought of before. Maybe there's a call upon somebody's life tonight, Lord God, that to which they need to respond, and I pray that you would just open their heart and mind to understand that from your word tonight. But Father, I pray in everything that we do, by your grace upon our lives, that we would bring you and give you the honor and the glory that is richly due to your name. And we'll thank you for it because we ask these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke chapter number 5, and begin reading in verse number 1. Follow along, please, as I read. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," that's also the Sea of Galilee, "and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net.' And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men.' And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him." We have here the account of Jesus initially calling his first disciples. He will identify the 12 later on in the book of Luke, but this is a very fascinating passage of Scripture, and I'm sure this is not the first message you've heard on this passage of Scripture. But I want to point us to a very important fact in this passage, in the first three verses here of Luke chapter number 5, and that is the importance, the primacy, if you will, of the Word of God. You see, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, the people wanted to hear the preaching of the Word of God. That's a blessing. We live in a world and a land today that does not want to hear the preaching of the Word of God. They're trying to shut it out. But they wanted to hear the word of God. So he's by the Sea of Galilee, or the Lake of Gennesaret as it's described here. He saw these ships standing by the lake. The fishermen weren't in them. Of course, we know it's Simon, probably his brother Andrew. James and John are there as well. And so he asks them to cast out from the land so that he could sit down and teach the people out of the ship. So Jesus is preaching and teaching out of Simon's ship off of the coast, not very far. It's a short way off, and the area there is probably more amphitheater-like, so it just is going to help. The water's going to help to amplify his voice so everybody can hear. And he moves him away from the press so there's not the sound deadening of having so many people right around him. So he's going out off just a little way off the shore to be able to preach and teach to the people because they wanted to hear it. And of course, Simon Peter and James and John and probably Andrew as well are with the Lord at this point as he's preaching and teaching. Can I say to us tonight that in order to have a life-altering experience with the living Word of God, that's what Jesus is, the living Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, and he became flesh, John 1:14 says, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the living Word of God, but if you want to have a life-changing experience with the living Word of God, you cannot neglect exposure to the written Word of God. The Bible. And I want you to understand something tonight. The Lord God, the living Word of God, the written Word of God, God has given in order to change your life and mine. That's why it's here. Jesus wants to change your life. He wants to make you like him for your good and for his glory. His stated goal for his earthly ministry we find in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, where he says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, it's not just to rescue us, give us a ticket to escape the fires of hell, but it's for a purpose. The purpose is to serve and glorify him on this earth and to reach others with that same life-changing message. Everywhere the Word of God goes, it changes the lives of those who receive it. And it changes them for the better. Now, you know, some might argue, well, my circumstances didn't improve. Temporally, probably not always do they improve. But eternally, boy, they got a whole lot better. That's what the Word of God does. It changes us for eternity. So how did the encounter that these men had with Jesus change their lives? And what does it teach us? What can we learn about how Jesus wants to change our lives from their encounter? I want you to notice three things with me tonight. First of all, I want you to notice that it began with a command. It began with a command. Now again, Jesus has asked them to cast off just a little ways from the land. Verse 3, it says, he asked Simon that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. But then he gives a command in verse number 4. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." May I say that everything God says is authoritative? Everything God says is authoritative. When you come to the Scriptures, it's not a collection of suggestions and good ideas for you and I to just, you know, we'll try it for a little while and kind of see if it works, like dipping our toe into the pool to see if the water's the right temperature. That is not what the Word of God is. The Word of God is not a buffet that we can kind of leaf through it and say, oh, well, I like that verse, so I'm going to claim that, but you know, I don't like this one over here, so I'm just going to say that that's not for me. Everything that God says is authoritative, and it is for us to be able to learn and grow into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus calmed the storm, the disciples weren't in the ship going, well, he just gave the command, I wonder what's going to happen. No, the wind ceased, the waves ceased immediately when he said, "Peace, be still." When the man with the withered hand in the synagogue, Jesus said, "Stretch forth thine hand." It wasn't that he kind of started to reach it out a little bit and they said, well, you know, how long are we going to have to wait to see what's going to happen here? No, the Bible says he reached out his hand and it was made whole immediately. When he gave sight to the blind, they could see immediately. When he told the lame man, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk," he didn't lay there for a little while and go, "Well, I think my legs are getting stronger." No, he got up and walked. We should come to the Bible with the same expectation of its authority over every area of our lives that people came to expect when Jesus spoke. Do you want to know why? Because it is the Word of God. It's perfect, it's authoritative, and it will change your life if you'll recognize its authority. So he started with a command here in verse number 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. I want to look at this in two parts because he instructed these men that he's getting ready to call to follow him. First of all, he said to launch out into the deep. You say, why is that important? Well, it's an element that we need to understand about God's command is that they often take us to a place that is outside our comfort zone. I mean, think about some of the characters in the Bible that we enjoy reading about and following their lives and studying their lives. Men like Noah. Noah, I want you to build a boat because I'm going to send a flood and rain on the earth. And people laughed at him. Took him outside of his comfort zone. How about Abraham or Abram? In Ur of the Chaldees, God comes to Abram and says, leave your father's house, leave the land of your nativity, and travel to a land which I will tell thee of. He didn't even know where he was going. God said, go. Took him outside of his comfort zone. You know, the Word of God is like that. Our comfort zone is the place where we feel comfortable, but listen, where we feel comfortable often is not the place where God wants us. It's not the place where he can change our lives. We can look at Joshua or Gideon. I love Gideon. Gideon calls the people together to fight against the Midianites. God says there's too many. Send these folks home. Okay, so he sends them home. Still got 10,000. God says, Gideon, that's too many. Can you imagine where Gideon's at that point? Lord, are you sure? God says, give them a test. All right, those 300 there, yeah, they passed the test. You take them. That's what I'm going to deliver you with. Wait a minute. That's outside my comfort zone, Lord. David. Little David is a youth, a shepherd boy with a sling, 5 smooth stones, right? We sing the song when we're children. Only a boy named David. Only a little sling. David was outside of his comfort zone when he faced Goliath. God's commands often take us outside of our comfort zone. Jonah, Elijah, Daniel, the list goes on and on and on. You know, it was no different with these future disciples. Launch out into the deep. Why launch out into the deep? Well, in the shallows, things are comfortable. Things are easy. You know, if a storm comes up, hey, and I fall out of the boat, I might be able to swim to shore. In the shallows, I might be able to even stand up in the water. In the shallows, there's not really anything to frighten me. But in the deep, oh, in the deep, things are strange. In the deep, there's risk. Launch out into the deep, Lord? There's things out there to frighten me. You know, we're close enough in the shallows that we don't really need to trust the Lord. It's in the deep where we have to learn to trust the Lord. Amen. And that's what God uses to change our lives. He challenges us, launch out into the deep. Jesus commanded these fishermen right on the heels of his message to the people to launch out into the deep. Is there a deep place in your life that God's calling you to go to? Well, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't know if I could do that. Maybe it's surrendering to ministry. Maybe as a missionary or a pastor or some other full-time vocational endeavor. Maybe it's to get involved in a church ministry. People have perhaps mentioned to you, you know, you would be great in this ministry. Why don't you try it out? Maybe it's vacation Bible school. Oh, I don't know. Kids are scary. Yeah, they are sometimes. But so are parents too, honestly. Sometimes. You know, I don't know where that deep place is, but maybe God's challenging you to go out of your comfort zone into a deep place. Maybe it's to witness to your neighbor. Invite a coworker to church. I don't know where your deep place is. Maybe it's in the area of Faith Promise Missions. You've never been involved in Faith Promise Missions, and God's challenging you to step out, launch out into the deep. Where is the deep place that Jesus is telling you that he wants you to go? Because listen, it's in that deep place that he's going to change your life. He told these disciples, launch out into the deep. Will you launch out? But that's only the first part of the command. And the second part of the command, he says, let down your nets for a draught. Another important element that we need to understand about God's will is that it often will not make sense to us. We'll hear the command of God. We'll see what God wants us to do. We'll be convinced that this is what God wants us to do. But it just doesn't make sense. We want to reason and justify our way out of obeying the will of God. You know, for these fishermen, it wasn't the right time. Lord, the fish bite at night. The fish are schooling at night. They're not in the deep at night during the day, Lord. They're not here. They're not there. It's not the right time. It's not the right place. We just finished washing our nets. It's not convenient. How many times does the Word of God come to us and we're reading maybe in our devotions or the pastor's preaching a message and boy, the Holy Spirit begins to stir our hearts. Yes, there's something I need to do about that, but we let it pass by. We give up some excuse for why it just doesn't make sense right now, Lord. I want to encourage you on your own time. We don't have time for it tonight to read through Hebrews 11 and just think about how many times God gave commandment to the heroes of the faith that made sense to them in the moment. Arguably none. Why are they the heroes of the faith? Because they got the command from God and they said, we're going to do it. Amen. We're going to trust God and we're going to do it. When you have the clear leading of God through the testimony of His Word and the guiding presence of the Holy Spirit, there is no excuse for delay, even if it doesn't make sense. So where is the deep place that God is wanting you to launch out to? Is He wanting you to drop your nets, let down your nets for a draught? But I notice not only that He begins with a command, I want you to notice that it follows with a compliance. Simon answers Him beginning in verse number 5 and following through verse number 7. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. How did these fishermen respond? Probably the same way you and I do initially when we understand God's leading in our lives, when we understand God's commands. But they respond as we all should respond in the end. It started with an objection. It began with an objection. Good old Simon Peter states the obvious. Lord, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. It's not the right time, Lord. We're tired, Lord. We've already given it our best shot. We've tried every trick we know, Lord, and we have taken nothing. Zilch, nada, there's no fish. Do you know that's what happens when we try and do things on our own, by the way? That's the result that we often are confronted with. You know, I kind of imagine Simon Peter just in my own vernacular here, Lord, this isn't going to work. And sometimes that's the way we feel about God's commands. Lord, it's not going to work. But you know, I'm thankful that God still works. Because it's God who's doing the work, not us. It began with an objection. And may I say that the right way to respond in this situation is how Solomon records in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It might not make sense. You might be tempted to object. But I want you to notice it began with objection, but it proceeded with obedience. Notice what Simon says after he gives his flimsy excuse. Nevertheless, Lord, we've done our best. We don't think it's the right time. We don't think it's the right place. But nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. What a great principle for us to understand. It proceeded with obedience. God, your will doesn't make sense to me. God, your commands, they're not reasonable. God, it's taken me out of my comfort zone. Nevertheless, at thy word, again, the importance of the word of God. Nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the nets. Simon shows great wisdom. You know, I think it probably had a lot to do with the message that he heard Jesus preach from out of his boat. We don't know. That message is not specifically recorded for us in this particular account. We don't know what the Lord preached on. But Simon had enough sense to say, I know I'm in the presence of someone that it would behoove me to obey. Can I remind us that we're in the Word of God, we're in the presence of someone that it would behoove us to obey? Amen. And Simon says, Lord, nevertheless, at thy word, I will obey. He obeys the command of the Lord anyway. You know, it reminds me of the example that Jesus gave of the two sons in Matthew chapter 21. Not the prodigal that we talked about this morning, but in Matthew chapter 21, you remember, he talks about the man who had two sons. He told the first son, he said, son, go work in my field. He said, I will not. But he repented and went. The second son, he said, go work in my field. He said, I go, and he went not. And he asked the Pharisees, he said, which one did the will of his father? They said, the first. He said, yeah, that's exactly right. Therefore, the publicans and sinners go into heaven before you do. Why? Because they were obeying the command, even though they said they weren't going to obey it. They received the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees weren't going to go because they said they didn't need to, even though the Word of God said that they did. I'm reminded as well of what God told Saul through Samuel in 1 Samuel 15 and verse number 22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You know, so many times our justification to disobey God is, well, I'll just give up something. And that way God will be satisfied. God's not satisfied with anything but obedience. It's for our good, for your good, for my good, to refuse objections and to willingly submit to the will of God, as these fishermen did. So it began with an objection. It proceeded with obedience, but I want you to notice it resulted in an overflow. It says in verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. Isn't that the way God does it so many times? He gets us out of our comfort zone. We determine, yes, by your grace, Lord God, I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to do what you've told me to do. It doesn't make sense to me, and we do it, and what happens? God brings the blessing. And it's not just a little blessing. It's not like, well, I wonder if that would have happened if I didn't obey. No, when we obey, God just pours it out. And we say, man, look at what God did. Why? Because he receives the glory and the honor for it. What did God do when the men obeyed? He brought forth an abundant catch. He did what should not have been possible because these men chose to obey the command of the Lord. And it makes me wonder, how many miracles have I missed out on in my own personal life? Because I have found reasons to justify and excuse disobedience instead of just simply obeying the will of God and the Word of God. Are you experiencing leanness in your walk with Christ because you're refusing to obey God's commands? Are you unfamiliar with the Scriptures? You don't even know what God wants for you to do. You don't understand His purpose for your life. God delights in abundantly blessing his obedient children. The question is, will you launch out and let down your nets in obedience to the Lord? It started with a command, a twofold command. Following was a compliance. The fishermen said, you know, we don't understand it, but Lord, we're going to do it. And it brought blessings. But I want you to notice, thirdly, and in closing tonight, it concluded with a commission. Verse number 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. The lesson that Jesus was teaching these men was not wasted. In fact, it had a profound impact that led to new purpose for them in life. They were never the same afterwards. Listen, if you want to have God change your life so that you won't be the same from this point going forward, let me tell you something. Get into the Word of God. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Let God speak to you through His Word. And when He says, "Thus saith the Lord," do it, because He'll change your life. My personal testimony of entering the ministry. I graduated from Goose Creek High School, class of 1991. So for some of you, I'm a young pup. For some of you, I'm quite old. And for some of you, you say, "Hey, that's not a problem. That's within a year or two when I graduated." We're the young at hearts. But I had determined when I was 8 years old, I was going into the military. That was my plan for my life. My dad was in the Navy, so I didn't go into the Navy. Basic training for the Marine Corps was an hour and a half down the road, and I didn't want to have anything to do with Beaufort, South Carolina at the time. So they were out of the running, and I chose the Air Force because the recruiter was a sweeter talker. I went into the Air Force gung-ho. You can ask my wife. She met me a few weeks before I went into basic training. I had my head shaved so tight when I got to the barber in basic training, I sat down and he said, "Get out of my chair." I said, "Yes, sir." I wasn't like some of those guys that had a mop head full of hair that were weeping when they got out of the barber's chair. Mine was already gone. Served in the United States Air Force for 3 years, the entire time thinking I am going to do it better than anybody who went before me. I'm going to be the Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force. I'm going to stay in for 30 years. I'm going to retire. I had it all planned out. And 3 years in, God began to knock on the door of my heart. Said, "You've been doing what you want to do for far too long. You need to launch out into the deep." "Lord, it's not the right time. I'm just starting my career in the Air Force." Launch out into the deep. So my wife and I began to try and make plans to go to Bible college. Couldn't find a Bible college that would accept us that was in the same doctrinal position that we were in. And so we moved back here from Tucson, Arizona. Pastor Stevens would not let me forget that he was on the board at Ambassador Baptist College. Once he found out that I believe God was calling us to serve in some form of full-time ministry capacity. So every church service, "Hey, Tim, how you doing? You know, I'm on the board at Ambassador." "Yes, sir. We'll go up and look at the school." So we did. In 1996, we went to Ambassador Baptist College. Began preparing for the ministry. We were there for 2 years, and I was scratching my head going, "Why am I at a school that trains preachers when God hasn't called me to preach?" Wasn't his time yet. Trying to jump the gun on him again. So my pastor, wise individual, Brother Frank Camp, said, "Pray about other ministry opportunities and see what doors the Lord opens up." The Lord opened the door up for us to go to Northern Virginia, Fairfax Baptist Temple. Work on staff in their finance department. It's a huge blessing. We were there for just about 3 years, 2.5 years. God began to knock on my heart again. "I want you to preach." You say, "How do you know that?" Because every time I opened my Bible, every message the pastor preached, every missionary that came through, every song that was sung, all I could hear is, "Preach the word, preach the word, preach the word." "Lord, it doesn't make sense. Get out of your comfort zone. Work a full-time job, go to Bible college full-time. Get out of your comfort zone. Read more, study more, prepare more. Get out of your comfort zone. You're going to end up leaving your friends because you're going to be commissioned to go up to Lancaster and Pennsylvania and start a church. It doesn't make sense, Lord, but nevertheless, at thy word," went to Bible college in Fairfax for 4 years, was on staff at the church for 6.5 total, and in 2005 went up to start Lancaster Independent Baptist Church. "Lord, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the Bible Belt of Pennsylvania. Yeah, they need the gospel too. Just like Monk's Corner and Somerville and Goose Creek do. North Charleston, Columbia, yeah, pick a place. Any foreign country, the world needs the gospel. Surrendered to preach. God called us and sent us up there to preach. And you know what? We're still following God's will in our lives because every time God says, step out of your comfort zone, launch out into the deep, let down your net. Do you want to know something? He's never failed. He does all things well. And that's what these men found out. And so it concluded with a commission. Verse number 8, when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. It began with a confession from Peter. He saw his own unworthiness in relation to the glory of God. He thought, there's no way that I could possibly draw near because of my sinfulness. Lord, I'm not worthy to even be in the same boat as you are. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. That humility is how he was ready to serve the Lord. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, 17a tell us about the six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The first one is a proud look. I believe that's why Paul would say in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul didn't say I can do all things and I just add Jesus to it. No, he said I can do all things through the Lord Jesus Christ which strengtheneth me. Are you humble and willing to acknowledge your inadequacy apart from the grace of God? It started with a confession. It proceeded with conviction. Verse number 9, it says, for he was astonished, and notice it, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. They said, man, this isn't normal. Aren't you glad God doesn't deal in the normal? He deals in the supernatural. I am. Lives get changed. People are transformed. And God gets the glory for it. Everyone who participated in this event, they understood the power that Jesus demonstrated, and it convinced them of his messiahship. Notice how we know that. Verse number 11, it says, and when they had brought their ships to land, what did they do? They forsook all and followed him. Listen, when you have a life-changing intervention from the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to say, hey, whatever I had isn't worth it. He's worth all of it. He's worth my every moment, my every focus, my every desire, my every want. Jesus Christ is worth it. That's what these men said. We don't need the boats. We don't need the nets. We don't need the fish. We need to follow the Savior. The word here for astonished means to take possession of or to seize. These men seized upon the fact that Jesus deserved their devotion and their loyalty. You know, it's amazing to me how many times people can see a God do a work. They can see a person's life change. They know that there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. They know that there's power in the Word of God, and yet they hem and haw about selling themselves out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he couldn't do that for me. And by the way, I don't give my testimony to say that everybody's called to be a preacher or everybody's called to be a missionary, but you know, we ought to be willing to rule that out first. They forsook all and followed him. They were convicted. Hey, this is who we've been looking for. This is who I need in my life, and I don't need to follow anything else. I don't need to be consumed with anything else. I need to be consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you consumed with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you convicted tonight that he wants to change your life and that he will change your life? You cannot refute that Jesus is God. All you can do is make a choice to be on his side or not. And it closed with a conscription. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Simon, I've got a purpose for your life you could never imagine. James, John, I've got a purpose for your lives that you could never imagine. Tri-City Baptist Church member, God's got a purpose for your life that you could never imagine. He's just waiting for you to say, here I am, send me. Could be a young person, could be a middle-aged person, could be an older person. You're holding something back from God. God's wanting you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Stop making excuses. Just say, yes, Lord. Be like Samuel, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And be willing to do whatever God's calling you to do. When these men met Jesus, it forever changed their lives. They heard him speak. His message worked in their hearts so that they were willing to obey what did not make sense. And it changed their purpose for all of eternity. Do you want God to change your life tonight? Why don't you surrender to him? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you ready to launch out tonight?